What's that, guys? I think I misplaced my sermon, so just... We'll see.
What you need to understand is he forgot his music.
Yeah.
He forgot his saxophone at school.
It was under the play stuff.
So this is part of the object lesson. Just take it in. Just stare at it a little longer, because I open up my phone, there's verses on here. Just enjoy it. Okay, so. I could have worn that shirt today, but... You know, God just wants us to come as we are. And he doesn't want us to dress up and be fancy. He wants us to come as we are. And with all our, you know, our shame or guilt or sin, whatever it is, he just wants us to come as we are. And that's what we got to do. We just got to come before him and just let him just, you know, clean us off. And not try to, like, fix everything up before we come to him. Just come to him as you are and he'll fix you up. And he'll dress you. So that's the point of that. So... I'm talking about standing in God's grace, and I think it, after hearing both of them speak, they did an awesome job. I think God's grace allows us to understand, like, God's grace through the cross lets us understand how much he loves us more, and lets us see, lets us have that peace of God through that grace, through that sacrifice he made for us. So that's just something I thought about, but... So basically, I'm going to be talking about standing in God's grace and his forgiveness and his freedom, not in your self-condemnation. He wants us to stand in his grace, not the self-condemnation. And an interesting thing is he wants us to learn from our mistakes, because what God can do is take our mistakes and turn them into something we can learn from, and it all works through his grace, and his grace helps us move forward. So just to define grace a little bit, I mean, I looked up some stuff today, but... One I liked is God reaching down towards people who are rebelling against him. That's one way you could look at grace. Another way is get what you don't deserve and not what you do deserve, if that makes sense. And another, which one word that can sum up grace as well is mercy, God's mercy for us. And I just want to bring up a point. Today, you know, my dad was talking about the name of God and who God is. But I think you could also call like, a name for God could be literally just grace. And you could call, like, say that God is grace. Just like God is love, God is grace. Just like Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he is grace as well. And John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, I guess I'll keep moving forward. Romans 5:1-2 is kind of what my thing's centered around, so I'll just say it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace on which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And when it's saying on which we stand, I think it's implying like a continual thing, like we're continually standing in the present moment on his grace, and that's what we need to be doing. So I want us to, like, you know, go back in time a bit, and let's start with Adam and Eve, just to give a nice little contrast. And ideally, I think, like, in the first creation, you know, with Adam and Eve there, you know, God wanted Adam and Eve to learn simply through relying on God, simply through his instruction. He, you know, it wouldn't have been where they sin and then they learn from it, but they simply listen to God's voice and they follow it. However, they did sin, and that wasn't the case. So I think, you know, Jesus had a plan, and his plan was, you know, to come down, you know, become a man, and... you know, save us, offer his salvation to us, what we don't deserve, and, you know, give up his life for us because he loves us. And not just, grace isn't just for our salvation, but it's for every day, for getting us through every day. And it's getting us through every day, and it's to give us strength and just, like, freedom from our sin. And, sorry, I had a thought, and I was kind of, like, fading away. Bear with me. Okay, yeah. So to God, God, through his grace, can take our sin and use it to his own glory and our own personal growth. And I think that's just a beautiful thing because, you know, through Adam and Eve, it was kind of like they would have learned just simply from listening to God. But God saw our sin and he said, hey, I can still use that. Like, he can still use our mistakes and he can use that to help us learn from it and for our own personal growth and for his glory. And you might be saying, like, how can God use sin to his glory? I mean, not just through us, but the best way he did it was through the cross. Like, he took, I mean, our sin put him on the cross, but he used that to show his love for us and his sacrifice for us. And so I think this is so incredible. And he wants us to set us free from, like, you know, the guilt, the shame, and all that stuff. And, you know, when you become a Christian, it's like the judge is, like, you know, saying you're free from the penalty. But now when each time you, like, you know, you mess up and you screw up, when you come to God, you're coming to God, like, you're coming to your Father. You're coming to your Heavenly Father and asking him for forgiveness just to make sure that things are right and good with him and that you have peace with him. And you just that continual grace is there to, like, you know, sanctify us each day, just to give us strength each day. And he just really wants us to stand in it. And to really stand in his grace, you need, I think, two main things really are, like, you know, repentance and just faith and, like, relying on him, you know. You know, after you've done something wrong or whatever and you come into God and saying you just believe that you are forgiven, you know, have that faith and just, you know, say sorry and mean it genuinely and you will be forgiven in an instant. And you're forgiven in an instant because, you know, Jesus already forgave you at the cross. You could even say he's forgiven you from eternity past. That's kind of a hard thing to think about. But, you know, like, he's forgiven us in that instant right away. And he doesn't want you to feel that guilt and leave that on yourself. And, I mean, John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And, you know, we just need to remember that freedom is there to set us free. And just really dwell on that. And now I just want to kind of shift gears a little bit. And I just want to, like, bring up the point. I'm sorry. You know, I feel like we need to, sometimes we give our problems too much attention. to be frank, to be honest with you. I mean, sometimes when we pray to God, you know, if you're praying to God for an hour about, like, how you screwed up, you know, God's only asking for a few seconds a minute, to be honest. Because, I think it's the truth. Like, Jesus is saying, like, he's saying to us, like, it's finished. It's done at the cross. Stop worrying about it. Just, I love you. I forgive you. You don't have to keep talking to me. I forgive you. You know? I think that's the honest truth. And instead of, like, you know, focusing our problems and talking to him, he wants us to focus on him. He wants to focus on the good things in his kingdom. He wants to focus on what's above. And he doesn't want those things to drag us down. His grace is there to help us move forward. You know, after every time you mess up, he's just like, don't worry about it. Just keep moving forward. Keep your eyes on me, and I'll carry you along the way. Like, grace is sufficient for you. And, it's, you know, it's made perfect in your weakness. And like, if you ask yourself, like, if you're talking to God for a really long time about your problems, are you trying to earn his forgiveness? Like, because if you have the mindset that he's forgiving you in that instant, then I think that means you're relying on him. But if you're trying to, like, for a long time to say, God, please help me, please forgive me for a long time, then I feel like you're trying to earn it yourself, and you can't do that. I mean, the whole thing about Christianity is you can't earn your salvation. It's completely him and just putting your faith and repentance in him. And, I mean, Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And, you know, just every time we come before him, he's purifying us. And, you know, and in his eyes, we are righteous before him just because of he's in us. So, you know, just don't worry. Just trust in him and just put your faith in him. like, now I just want to kind of shift a bit to, like, when you are in those moments of temptation, like, when you are in those moments of temptation, like, turn those into opportunities to be productive for his kingdom. When you're in those, like, it might be hard sometimes, like, I mean, this sermon is coming from my own personal struggles of sin and, like, and just experiences and the God, Holy Spirit talking to me, and that's really where this kind of stems from, but I feel like he gave me this thought, like, every single time, you know, the devil's trying to bring us down, every single time the devil's saying, like, trying to, like, stop us from being productive, instead, like, you know, slap him in the face and just turn into a moment to be productive. Start praying to God. Don't focus on your problems, but focus on God. Don't focus on the temptation, but focus on him. And I don't know about you guys. I've had it before. You know, you're worshiping God, you're reading the Bible, and sometimes these unclean thoughts come into your head, and you're like, dang it, like, why? And it's just, you know, I don't know if you know those ones, but I know those ones for sure. And I think sometimes we're like, we beat ourselves up, and we're like, we can't think about God and these sins at the same time. We can't think about these struggles at the same time. And so we stop thinking about God altogether, and we just, our minds go somewhere else. But like, what God wants us to do in those moments is he wants us to humble ourselves. Like, when we become Christians, we're supposed to humble ourselves and admit our sins. But in those moments where, like, you know, we're struggling with temptations, he wants us to humble ourselves and say, and admit to God that there's something wrong with us in terms of our flesh is still there. I mean, our flesh hasn't been, we still have our flesh. We haven't made it to heaven yet. So we just have to, in those moments, acknowledge that Jesus is, that Jesus can forgive us of those sins and just that he'll set us free from them. But really, just that the humility is so important. Just realizing that he's gonna set you free in that moment when you're facing that temptation. And like when those thoughts come to your head, like, keep focusing on Christ. Like, it's okay to have those sinful thoughts still there for a few moments, but if you just focus on Christ, the thoughts will vanish. Like, if I painted a picture for you and there's like, let's say there's a storm and there's a tree. Like, imagine Jesus is a tree. Like, the storm's still in the background, you kind of see it, but just keep your eyes focused on that tree until, like, all of your attention is just on that tree, and it'll just, the rest will fade away. Like, just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus in those moments when you're fighting in your thoughts. And just his grace is good, for sure. You know, he understands us. He really does. He became a man, and he wants you to know that he understands you. He faced those temptations. I mean, of course, he's victorious, but this brings me to my final point. His grace is now there for us to overcome our temptations, to overcome our future. You know, what we failed with now, we can overcome it in the future if we just trust in him and rely on him. And, you know, just look out for Satan, because, you know, he's nipping at your ankles. And I mean, he... like, If you let those little small things, you know, just bother you and you don't really, like, deal with them, it can make you a little bit less productive for his kingdom. And you might be like, oh, it's just a little bit. But eventually, like, let's say he's hitting at your ankle. You know, your ankle keeps getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And then next thing you know, your ankle twists, it breaks, and you fall. And now you're not being productive at all because you're letting that sin get into your life. You have to keep your guard up, and you have to keep standing in that grace, keep standing in that, and letting that move you forward and understanding, like, what that means in terms of just being able to overcome it and just, yeah. But I think that's kind of the end, but maybe I'll end with some Bible verses here. You know, I can't remember, I found this in the Bible verse, but I don't know where it's located, but it says, Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. So I urge you, as a final thing, to continue in the grace of God, to continue in his presence, and just to continue seeking him with all your heart. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when we stand in his grace, you know, we just need to stay where we are, and he'll come to you. And he doesn't want us to run. So, you know, sometimes it says we want to run to God, but I think more often we need to rely on God and let him run to us and just stay where you are and just, like, you know, keep your eyes, just stay where you are and just trust in him, because he's going to come every single time. And so I just kind of want to end on that note, like, you know, just stand in that grace, stand in his presence, and just let it set you free. So, yeah. Love as well.